to the heat check. We've got a huge trade out of fucking nowhere. Karl Anthony Towns for Julius Randle and friends, Dante DiVincenzo. One of the most complicated trades in NBA history. A lot of people who are tippy-top of the salary cap game, they can't even figure it out. We're going to try to make some sense out of it, as well as cover all the latest news from around the league. Fun episode ahead. Anthony, my man, drop that motherfucking beat. This should be Rihanna. When I say it's rare that a trade just comes out of nowhere and takes me by surprise, I mean it. Almost always we hear smoke. Almost always there's rumors, there's developing stories, there's at least some inkling that a trade is going to happen. Only rarely do we get that Kevin Durant getting sent to the Suns at 1:30 in the morning type trade that drags me out of a cookout to make a late night TikTok. So when I say I was absolutely shooketh by Karl Anthony Towns going to the New York Knicks for Julius Randle and Dante DiVincenzo and a bunch of other friends, I never saw it coming. I mean, we've been talking about it. We've been talking about it for years, though. It was like folklore, like never going to happen. And from the looks of things, Karl Anthony Towns didn't see it coming either. He was in the facility. How sucky is that? You're in the team facility at 3 a.m. with your pops the night before the trade. You show up to a charity function the morning after, decked in Wolves gear, and nope, you are gone, sir. Randle, also blindsided. 2 days before the trade for him, he was at a groundbreaking ceremony for a school where he was honored for donating $1.3 million. Leon Rose was there. Tibbs was there to support him to a New York school. Kind of shady, actually. Like, honestly, like both teams were totally down for their marquee players to take part in community service events, tying them to the city. Not like, come on. It's like you know you're about to break up with your girlfriend, and then you allow her to go to Easter dinner with your family. Like, you can't do that. You're like, oh yeah, you know about that charity event. Like, the kids are good. The kids are good now. Don't go. Please don't go. Let's break this thing down into detail. Let's get it. First, we should probably acknowledge at least this as the very first major NBA event in the post-Woj era, which we'll get to in a second. We're going to talk about what happens next after Woj. A new era has begun. The trade itself is complex. Friend of the show, Keith Smith of Spotrac, tweeted, "This is one of the most complicated trades in NBA history." And that's not being hyperbolic, he says. Here's what we know. The Wolves receive Julius Randle, Dante DiVincenzo, Kata Bates Diop, a 2025 top lottery-protected first-round pick via Detroit, which means probably not going to be a first-round pick. Charlotte Hornets will facilitate the trade, because they've got a bunch of cap room. Players like Daquan Jeffries, Dwayne Washington Jr., who, by the way, is playing overseas, so he needs to be cut or released and then brought back and then released. I don't know. He's playing for Belgrade Partizan right now, but he's part of the trade. What are we talking about? He's going to have to be bought out, signed, traded, bought out, and re-signed back in Serbia again. What is he getting out of that, by the way? What does he get? A cookie? A lot of this is because the Knicks are working really hard to balance out the ledger. They just took on 4 years, $220 million of Karl Anthony Towns' contract. The Wolves get major cap relief. Randle's on a contract year with a player option. He's woefully underpaid as a top 40 player in the league. By the way, a lot of people say that contract was terrible when he was signed to the Knicks. Sounds like it's not really that terrible right now. According to Keith, here's what we do not know yet. How's New York matching the salary for Towns? How is he avoiding the hard caps? Smith says that the Knicks are already hard capped at the second apron and will need to structure this trade to avoid a hard cap at the first apron. Does Randle take on his full trade bonus? Carl Anthony Towns had to give up his trade bonus because he's already maxed out. What picks? Who are the Hornets getting to help along this deal? Why would they even be a part of it? Like, what are they getting out of it? Finally, how do the Knicks go about filling out the roster this close to camp with limited resources? All of this has to do with the second apron hard cap. If the Knicks fill out their roster with two players on veteran minimum deals, they'll still need to make at least one more deal to make the math work, and more likely two more deals. So, I mean, there's a lot going on here. I cannot remember a trade, even the Russell Westbrook trade, which was like really, really, really complex, involving the most teams in league history, being this confusing. How complex is it? Well, the Knicks immediately waived both Marcus Morris Sr. and Chuma Okeke, and the Wolves waived Chason Randles immediately after the trade was announced. When it is finalized, we will give you all the details. We will even have Keith Smith on to cover all the details. But for now, let's get into the emotional, personality, human side of the trade. Because I honestly think it was kind of, it's always a dirty game. But this was like, for me, like, wow. You know what I mean? I was like, I don't know. This is ick. For all of Carl Anthony Towns' faults, he sat through mischief. He got berated by Jimmy Butler. He had a weed-smoking co-host who could not fulfill what he thought, what everyone thought he was going to be in Andrew Wiggins. The entire team was chaos at times, drama at times. Remember, we were following Jimmy Butler around at practice because he was motherfucking the whole team, telling him, I'll whoop that ass. And then he ends up getting traded. Like, he was one of the only guys 10 toes down in Minnesota. Never asked for a trade in 9 years. Towns, apparently, according to The Athletic's John Krasinski, never saw it coming. Like, just completely blindsided out of the blue. The word that John used was stunned. He did not request this trade, quote, he has never requested a move in 9 years here. He had a lot of reasons. Boy, that franchise, those players have not always treated him well. Remember, he just got completely cooked by the media, other teammates, and he's done a lot to bring that on. But he did take a backseat for Ant Edwards. He took a backseat for Rudy Gobert in the past 2 years and still managed to be an all-star. Come on. The only issue that we have with Carl Anthony Towns is he's making $60 million a year. Really? His massive contract was so bad that new owners were like, he's got to go. Like, literally, before they even bought the team, they're telling the old owner, yeah, he's gone. We are getting rid of him. We've already paid 4 first-round picks for Rudy Gobert. Au revoir, Carl Anthony, is what they said. That's pretty much it. But God damn, this has got to sting. Got to sting. Spent 9 seasons in Minnesota. Listen, Minnesota in the winter. Cold as fuck. Lots of white folks. What are we doing? Listen, he had the tragedy of the COVID year where he lost his mom and a bunch of other family members. And for all the shit that Carl Anthony Towns gets nationally, he's a beloved figure in Minnesota. So it's kind of, it's not exactly all hearts and roses. From Towns' perspective, in terms of the good side of things, he gets to work with Tom Thibodeau again, his former head coach that was the head coach of the Minnesota Timberwolves back in the day. He spent 3 years under Tibbs. And like, I didn't think they were that close. So, very curious. They did have a huge amount of respect for each other. Tibbs must have seen his growth and thought to himself, I know what I can do with him. That's good enough to facilitate and sign off on the Randle trade. As for Randle, come on. Nobody wanted to come to New York before Randle. We got to give him all the love. If the Knicks win a championship because of this trade, Julius Randle should win a ring as well. He should also get a ring. Knicks fans, of course, love-hate relationship with Julius Randle. First big free agent to come to New York. No one will forget this season where he single-handedly carried the Knicks to the playoffs. They're not going to also forget his injuries, the off-the-court drama that he brought to subsequent teams. Bill Simmons said this in his latest podcast. Quote, I feel like there were some real chemistry concerns with Randall, bringing him in under, you know, as the kind of ugly stepchild of this Villanova 4 team. He's over there. He's underpaid by the fact that he's a top 50 guy. He's going to have to play out of position, because he was going to have to play center. Brunson's going to have the ball all the time, and they must not have liked something. All fair comments. I also think Julius Randall needs the ball in his hand a lot. So, whether he stays in Minnesota or he gets flipped is the next question for me. Are there places that could use him? Absolutely. New Orleans could use him again. He's eligible to sign a four-year, $181 million extension 6 months after the trade is completed. I don't think that's happening. As I mentioned, he can opt out after this year, test free agency. Although I believe he won't be able to sign for as much as he can with the Wolves. But for me, the key is whether Julius Randle is going to be able to stay healthy, because we've had issues with Julius Randle and that for a while now. He's had arthroscopic surgery on his left ankle. That happened last April. He had season-ending surgery last spring for the dislocated shoulder that he got in January. So Julius Randle has had some issues. He's had some wear and tear. To be fair, Karl-Anthony Towns has had wear and tear as well. But if he stays healthy, I think he's an incredibly valuable player to someone. Is it Minnesota? I don't know. Also, hidden under the headlines is like Knicks just discarded Dante DiVincenzo, part of the Villanova 4. All of the Villanova boys thought that the band was back together. It was Dante. It was Josh Hart. It was Jalen Brunson. They were coercing Mikhail to come over. Hey, we're having so much fun. And as soon as they get together, they don't even get one fucking game together. They don't even get training camp together for all the good stuff that they're going to do. Rumors, though, are that Dante DiVincenzo maybe was not as happy with the Nova reunion as was first let on, because he got moved to the bench pretty damn quick, even though we know he could be a very valuable contributor to a playoff team. How do we know that? Because he was a very valuable contributor to the Knicks last postseason. I think he's exactly what the Wolves need, by the way. A really good three-point shooter, third best in the league three-point shooter. Now that Karl-Anthony Towns is gone, he's going to have to step up. He's going to get a lot of touches. He's a really good defender on the wing. Some people feel that with Randall almost certain to opt out of his contract after next year, Dante was actually a key part of the trade. I'm certain this trade does not get done without Dante being in it. So now we have to get to the big question. Who won the trade? Who? Let's start with New York. I think it's a net win, honestly. Taking into consideration that Mitchell Robinson was out till January, at least. And by the way, we know Mitchell Robinson, not only does he have one injury, one boo-boo leads to two boo-boo, three boo-boo, four boo-boo. Like, he played two games in the postseason last year and out for the rest of the postseason. And what do they have? Now they have, that's why they had Isaiah Hartenstein. And Isaiah Hartenstein ended up having to play starting center minutes and then ended up getting the bag from OKC, because all of a sudden now we know what Isaiah Hartenstein can do. Like, if Mitchell Robinson doesn't get hurt, we probably don't see what Isaiah Hartenstein is capable of. And now the Knicks get Isaiah back on a cheap deal. And then they don't have to even get Karl-Anthony Towns. All of this because Mitchell Robinson cannot stay healthy. So January 2025, best case for Mitchell Robinson. You had no backup center. You've got Julius Randle playing center. You got OJ Anunoby playing center. Precious Achiuwa playing center? I don't think so. No. I think Towns is an elite three-point shooter, especially as a big in this league. For available centers, available shooters, he's the number one pick. Number one guy you could get. Number one guy that was available. Pick and rolls, pick and pops with Brunson are going to be danger. Like, just really, really good. I think it's going to be really hard to defend the Knicks. You're talking about pick and pop, one-two-man game with Jalen Brunson and Karl-Anthony Towns, and then you got OG Anunoby in one corner and Mikal Bridges in another corner. How are you defending that? I don't know. You got Karl-Anthony Towns, who doesn't need the ball in his hands. Julius Randle did. We would watch Julius Randle have the ball, dribble, 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 step back, contested, like 30 seconds. It's like 20 seconds out of 24 seconds of the shot clock. Karl-Anthony Towns can play in the half court. He can lurk over the line. He can run in the fast break. He can slash. He can rebound. He can defend. And this is excellent news for Knicks fans, who I think probably are now the second best team in the East. Pretty clearly. Philly has got to be punching air right now. A lot of Knicks fans are elated with this news. A lot of Knicks fans are pissed. Now, in terms of the Wolves, they now escape cap hell. They figure out a way to get the ownership group to feel happy and content with the way that this roster is structured. You've got Naz Reid. Naz Reid, in my opinion, on a very cheap contract and not that much worse than Karl-Anthony Towns. So you've basically got a little baby Karl-Anthony Towns, and he's just been clogged up by Karl-Anthony Towns, and he's making like $13 million a year instead of $60 million a year. And the Wolves couldn't play Gobert, Naz Reid, and Karl-Anthony Towns at the same time. It was clogging up the lanes. Anthony Edwards looked worse. In fact, the offense worked best when Karl-Anthony Towns got hurt last year and the year before. The only reason it ended up working in general ever where they went to the Western Conference Finals is because Chris Finch, the head coach, is a genius. But let's be honest, wasn't the best fit. But I am a little concerned at the timing. You go to the Western Conference Finals and you break the band up? You break the band up? They beat the fucking Denver Nuggets, the defending champs, and you break the band up? Man, I know that the cap situation was tenuous. But from a hoop standpoint, I think Dante DiVincenzo is the key piece to make this deal work from a basketball standpoint as well. Like I said, fourth best three-point shooter in the league, shot 44% from three last year, set an all-time Knicks record for made threes. He brings spacing, defense to a team that needs it, and I think he unlocks Ant. And then for Julius, I think he now has an opportunity to be like a third or a fourth fiddle. He can play the role that Cat played in terms of where he falls on the court, but he's tougher. He's stronger. He's not as good of a shooter, but he can shoot a little bit. He can knock down the three. People forget he shot 41% from deep in 2021. The Wolves get spacing, depth, toughness, cap relief, and now you've got a spot for Naz Reid to really flourish, which made Karl-Anthony Towns expendable. So it's very exciting. The move was made in part, I think, to maximize Anthony Edwards in his window. According to The Athletic, Randall's modest $31 million contract and his ability to opt out next year helps Ant. As Krasinski said, the Wolves wanted to make sure Edwards could be on a competitive playoff team for much longer than just the next 2 years, and believe the flexibility this move provides will aid this pursuit. Especially considering that the Wolves are going to need to pay Naz Reid more money. You can't have Naz Reid and Karl-Anthony Towns making $100 million together. No chance. And you got Nickeil Alexander-Walker there, so you can't lose both of those guys because they were very crucial to helping you beat the Denver Nuggets. So I think it's tough to pick out a loser or a winner. From a cap standpoint, the Wolves win. From the Knicks standpoint, they fill a need that they really had. I think it's a win-win. If Cat doesn't work out in New York, the top comment under the trade news from Shams was, don't come to New York and be a bitch. That was what it was. Like, literally, there's a lot of people saying Karl-Anthony Towns is soft and he cannot cut it. And there's a lot of people saying that Julius Randle is soft and he can't cut it in a big market either. So it's good that he's going to Minnesota. So I don't know. We're going to see how he's received. It's a very tough fan base. Whether he'll be happy is a real question. He was a Knicks fan growing up. It's going to be fascinating to see how this thing goes. The salary could become a boat anchor for the Knicks. They better fucking win fast. From a play standpoint, most pundits believe that the Knicks won the trade. Some arguing that the Wolves got significantly worse because integrating Randall into the offense and defense will require him to buy in, and Randall doesn't normally buy in. But remember, Randall played for Chris Finch for New Orleans. Chris Finch knew how to maximize him, and he had an awesome year. So this is fascinating. One of the most interesting trades in recent memory. Both teams could get better. Both teams could be regretting it by January. Trades like this make the NBA so fucking fun because we're going to be dissecting this for many, many ages. All right, moving on. Lots of news from around the league. Out in Indiana, there was a different kind of shock news. The Pacers, the Indiana Pacers, signed Jahlil Okafor, the former number three pick in the draft back in... Fuck, how long ago was that? 2015? For a training camp deal. I haven't thought about Jahlil Okafor since probably the pandemic. Because he last played in the NBA in the pandemic season, 2020-2021. one. Where has he been? I don't know. He's been playing in China, Mexico. He's going to be trying to make a comeback in the league. But here's the shocking thing. When you think about Jahlil, you're like, dude's like a million. He's been out the league for longer than I can even remember. But he's only 28. He came into the league at 20, despite the fact that he was overweight, 6'11", 275 pounds. Never really quite caught on. Tough one for the Sixers. At a time when the league was transitioning fully to three-point shooting bigs, he might actually be valuable right now. We're getting back to the bruisers down low. Like, we don't need all of our bigs to shoot threes right now. He was a throwback. We kind of like throwbacks right now. Last year saw this renaissance of the traditional big. Teams are scrambling to add rim protectors. Now Jahlil gets another chance in Indiana to resurrect his career. I like this. Chad Buchanan, good for you, brother. Way to give a guy another chance, a guy that a lot of people were very high on when he got drafted. If he catches on, a lot of big men who run out of the league before their time might just be looking for their own comebacks. All right, moving on. Jose Alvarado. Grant Theft Alvarado, baby. He just signed an extension with the Pelicans, and a lot of rival fan bases are fucking pissed. Why, you might ask? Well, what did Grant Theft Alvarado do? According to multiple fan bases, he signed for too little money, according to Shams. Alvarado signed a two-year, $9 million extension with a player option for 2026-2027. I don't know, that does feel like too small. Pause. It does feel like not enough money. To be fair, it feels like he could have signed for not double, but maybe like 30% more. It's the same contract that Nikhil Alexander-Walker signed in Minnesota. And remember, Nikhil Alexander-Walker ran out of New Orleans, did not play really a single minute. How little is $4.5 million? Kevin Garnett right now still makes $5 million a year on a deferred salary from the Celtics. The Celtics. Players who make more than Alvarado include Drew Eubanks, the 10-day god, Nick Richards, Johnny Davis, the bust that went to the Washington Wizards, Usman Jang. Whole lot of teams, I think, pay Alvarado $10 million a year. I think this is him betting on himself. When he opts out in 2026, I think there's going to be a lot of bidders for his services, which is pretty damn good, pretty damn good for the undrafted free agent. All right, speaking of extensions out in L.A., the Clippers just extended Terrence Mann. 3 years, $47 million. That keeps him there till 27-28, which is the natural byproduct of Paul George moving on to Philly. Not only did that free up the money to extend Mann, but now it is clear he's going to be a major part of their offense moving forward. Listen, I've been fucking talking up Terrence Mann for years now. Give this man his opportunities. Nearly $16 million a year. It might seem to people that he is on the cusp of being overpaid, but I don't think so. I don't think so. I think he's a bargain at $16 million. Clipper fans know this. Nearly all the Clipper websites are hailing the signing, the extension of Ivica Zubac as well. They are key cornerstones for rebuilding this franchise when Kawhi Leonard inevitably gets traded this year because they just cannot handle that contract and his injury woes anymore. Jerry West, my dearly departed friend, loved Terrence Mann. He's going to step into the lot of minutes that Paul George abandoned. I think this could be a breakout year for him. And a guy that's just a really good kid and athletic and strong and put up some huge performances in the playoffs a few years ago for the Clippers. I think this gives a little bit of hope to a team searching for reasons to pay those big prices at their new stadium, the Intuit Dome. All right, let's move forward. A little bit of sad news to report for anyone who's been a Hoops fan for the past 15 years. One of the truly great players of his generation, guy who really I wish I would have known what he would have become if he wouldn't have gotten injured, is Derrick Rose, has announced his retirement from the NBA. Anyone who saw him play before the injury, I don't think anybody forgets it. It was electric. He was the youngest player ever to win MVP at 22. And as we know, career derailed by injuries to the point where he was, though, able to add value to all six teams he played for, though. Nowhere in his career was anyone unhappy with having him on the team. And that includes Memphis, where he had a horrible season, but they were still happy to have him there. He was the get-back man. Rose requested a waiver from the Grizzlies, knowing that he'd have to give back the money rather than phone it in for a year and probably get waived. That's a good guy. Good move for Derrick Rose. Love Derrick Rose. One of the great what-ifs in NBA history. What if he never tore his ACL in 2012? First 4 years were as good as almost anyone in NBA history. And although, of course, he like played more, another 10 years, in fact, never the same. He would be the first to tell you that. And it's going to be strange. It's going to be strange to be watching the NBA and know Derrick Rose. He put a full-page ad in the newspaper in all six cities that he played. And now he'll have more time to dedicate to his passion. A lot of people don't know about. A lot of people are forgetting about. He held a huge chess tournament in the offseason that was apparently a big hit. More power to him. He is now fully leaning in to chess. He will be missed. And he will always be brought up when you bring up NBA. Who was the most exciting young player that you ever saw and wish you could have seen more? And finally, lots of shenanigans behind the scenes at ESPN right now in the skullduggery to replace Woj. The leader in the clubhouse was friend of show, Shams Charania, who's been guest hosting on Pat McAfee's show, and a lot of people thought was the reason that Woj left ESPN. He's out of contract now, might be at least obvious or logical that he would be the heir apparent to go to ESPN and break news. But then this happened. And then I'm like, okay, Woj, still pulling strings behind the scenes even when you're out of the league. By God, that's Adrian Wojnarowski's music. Out of nowhere, a dark horse candidate has emerged as the head of NBA newsbreaker at the Worldwide Leader. So who is it? Is it a guy like Brian Windhorst, a veteran of the NBA beat, someone deeply connected to players and front offices with a ton of experience? Or is it a guy like Jeff Passan? What the fuck? Jeff Passan covers Major League Baseball, who never, as far as I can tell, has broken any news about the NBA. He is now the guy rumored to be Woj's hand-picked successor. Remember last episode I said, is Woj trying to hand over the business? Like he's Tony Soprano? This is not for... is Woj getting a piece of the passing pie? I would not be surprised. This is like I said, when the financial advisor hands their entire book over to somebody, like their little nephew, and now all of a sudden they're managing $1 billion in assets under management. The level of petty against Shams is off the charts. If Jeff Passan becomes the leading NBA newsbreaker, everyone should be pissed. And remember, Shams was like Woj's mentee at Yahoo. He was 17, 18, working underneath Woj, and now they fucking hate each other. It is crazy. If this happens and I'm Tim Legler or Brian Windhorst or Zach Lowe, I am absolutely heated. By the way, just terrible news that the ESPN let go of Zach Lowe this week. They are very unserious right now. The Worldwide Leader is not that right now. They're the Worldwide smoking that weeder. As for Shams, I think he should just go to NBC. Fuck over ESPN. It's a dirty business, folks. Dirty business in the NBA when you want to break news. That's all the time that we have for this episode of the Heat Check. Come back next week for an all-new episode. We'll start ramping things up when training camp happens. Check out the feed for past episodes and mini-episodes, which drop unexpectedly like Trevor Lawrence's stock. Do not forget to follow the Heat Check throughout the offseason, which means a week until training camp. So download, subscribe, tell all your friends, even your stylist who finally learned how to do your hair after 3 years. Tell them, hey, yo, I love you. I know you have figured out how to balance out my curls. But now, in your downtime, check out the Heat Check. And special message, give me a follow on Threads, Meta's new social media app. Tons of NBA people are migrating there from Twitter. I will be posting there a lot. It's @Trista_Crick, the same handle you find me on Instagram. And of course, this Heat Check on TikTok. And soon, YouTube.